All right, man. Episode 18, I think. Special guest host, Corey.
What's going on, guys?
Fresh off a...
glad to be back.
Guest appearance. I think, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't mind doing the solo missions, and I don't mind flying solo, and I'm not saying I'll never do it again, but I think I'm pretty boring by myself, personally, and I think the analysis or the trends seem to suggest the same thing, so I think what I'm going to try and do is keep a couple people on standby, just in case. So, first and foremost, appreciate you filling in.
Oh, anytime.
As the guest host and providing anytime. A sweet studio.
It's a work in progress. It's coming along, though.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. You feel like you're more comfortable on the microphone?
Now? Yeah, yeah. Me and a buddy of mine did a podcast a few months ago before I went blind temporarily. And I felt like, you know, we've spoken at church in front of an audience of anywhere between 200 and 400 people. And I was just as nervous getting on a mic in my office by myself with a good friend as I was getting in front of that audience. And I have no idea why.
It's nerve wracking.
Yeah.
It, you know, I mean, I'm used to it now because I've been recording myself for about a year and a half. My cult following on the YouTube. A long time ago, and then this, you know, been doing this for, I guess, geez, about 5 months now. So I'm kind of getting used to it. But you know, they say that the reason you think you sound weird when you hear your voice is because when you talk normally, you hear your voice at I think it's a higher pitch than it really is. So when you record, your voice. And then listen to it on playback and you think you sound weird, it's because you're actually hearing your voice what it really sounds like to everyone else.
Right.
So like no one, you know, so people don't think it's weird when you talk into a microphone because that's how they always hear you, but you think it's weird because you're always hearing yourself at a higher pitch.
Yeah, I hate hearing myself. But the more I do it, the more I'm comfortable with it. And I don't know if it's because it sounds less weird to me now or I'm just used to it. But whenever I first heard myself, like you said, it sounded like it was in a much higher pitch and much more nasally, yeah. Which I think I'm probably pretty nasally just having sinus issues my entire life. But I don't know. Maybe it's not as bad as I think it is.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I'm saying is I think the only thing that I could tell in your podcast was your voice was a little shaky. You could kind of tell. That there was some nerves.
Yeah, that and I screwed up my audio levels pretty bad too.
Yeah.
I overdid the noise cancellation, which kind of makes it sound like you're talking through water. But yeah, no, I was definitely nervous.
But
it took me, I think we went for an hour on our podcast and I didn't feel comfortable until probably right at about 59 minutes. Yeah, or when I hit stop, that's when I felt comfortable again.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is we, like I said, I've said this before, but we laid 4 or 5 podcasts down, just us talking before we actually got one that we could actually put out on media, however, because something always went wrong.
Yeah.
And so we, I mean, essentially had 4 or 5 dress rehearsals before we actually did the real thing. So we were kind of used to it. But anyway. Yeah, so that's why you sound weird that's why you sound weird when you talk is because you hear yourself at a higher pitch, and then you hear yourself for real. That's how everyone else hears you. So just keep that in mind because that's how everyone else hears you. So you don't sound as weird as you think you do on the track. But anyway, so what's up, man?
Nothing. Finally back at work, back on the streets after almost 5 months.
With
yeah.
The eyes. For yeah. Those of y'all don't know, Corey had a mishap with the LASIK.
Yeah. And,
it took him a while to get back to where he should be.
Yep.
Dude, man, my nose is starting to run.
Yeah, but you know, we got some high-end custom lenses made that we're going to use for the next 6 months while my eyes heal up, but they correct like 99% of the problems I was having. Like I'm better than I was with glasses before with these contacts, but things are probably going to get wonky again as my corneas heal.
Yeah.
So, but I can go back to work. I can shoot a gun again. So feeling pretty good about that because desk duty just wasn't what I was built for.
Nah, man. Desk job's not what it's all cracked up to be. I don't dig mine as much. I mean, I like the job. I just like doing other things.
Yeah. Well, the best part about policing from just, you know, a job aspect is it's different every night. Like, you don't know what you're getting into every night. You know you're going to go to the same type of calls, but the way they play out and the way people are when you get there, it's different every single time. So there's really no monotony outside of, you know, maybe running traffic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a hard job to get tired of doing, I guess.
Now, is it one of those things where when you pull up to a job, is it one of those things where you can kind of sense that something may go wonky?
You know, so there are times where you look at the notes on the call, and you can tell right away, like, well, that doesn't make sense. Like, the difference between, like, a loud alarm, and you look at the areas of detection, it's like hallway motion. Well, how did they get in the halls without setting off other alarms? You know, that's just going to be a basic alarm.
Right.
If it's glass break, you have a tendency to be like, okay, well, that's how they're getting in, and this is going on right now. The same with, like, you look at the type of store, like, on a loud alarm. Like, you know, is it a jewelry store with a glass break? Yeah, that's going to be a good break-in. Is it a gas station with a glass break? Yeah, it's going to be a good break-in. You know, if it's not some type of retail store, if it's some random business and it's a glass break, it's probably not going to be good. You respond to everything the same, but in your gut, you always know when it's going to be good and when it's not. You're hardly, if you're good at the job, you're hardly wrong. But yeah, and I mean, domestics and stuff like that are the same way. Normally the notes on the call are a pretty good telltale sign of the way things are going to be when you arrive.
Yeah. So they do a pretty good job of kind of.
Yeah.
You know what you're going in.
Yeah. They don't,
you ever go in blind?
I mean, the only time you'd go in completely blind is like if somebody was to call in, scream and hang up the phone.
But yeah.
You're probably going to treat that as a pretty, you're going to treat that as a much higher priority because you don't know what's going on. So you're going to be on your guard. You should never not be on your guard, but I mean,
speaking of that,
what's that?
My son dialed 911 and then hung up the phone.
Did they show up?
They showed up. Nice. Yeah, it was at the church building in the foyer one night after church. And he didn't know what 911 was, which now he does, which I guess is a good thing. But one of the kids told him to dial 911. So he did. And they answered and he hung up. And then two cops showed up. So whoever was in the foyer had to explain it to him. But the funny thing is some of the parents were mortified that he did it. You know, this is my kid.
Yeah.
But they were mortified that someone did that because it could have been their kid. And wife and I are just kind of like, surprised it took this long for it to happen because I knew it was going to happen eventually. So.
Yeah. Me and my brother, we were infamous for pulling fire alarms when my dad would take us on hospital visits.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It happened more than once. Yeah, that or going out fire escapes and setting off the fire alarm that way.
Is that illegal? Is it legal to pull a fire alarm? Because we've all walked out of a...
I don't know. That's probably a ticket that like a... not a firefighter, but like a... what do they call them? Like they have investigators.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they could write. I mean, like they would cite you for a bonfire without a permit and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've all walked out of an emergency exit on accident before.
Yeah.
But...
I don't think it's anything.
You show up to calls where kids call in.
I mean, yeah, you get those every once in a while.
I wanted them. They walked out before I because he rolled by and he said, "I just called 911 on the phone," and your sister was like, "Come here, did you really do that?" And he's like, "No, I'm just joking." And he ran off. So we're like, "Whatever." Then I see two cops walk in. I'm like, yeah, he did. So I started walking out there because I wanted him to cuff him.
Yeah. So on that, there's one thing that cops hate, and it's when parents are like, "Hey, act like you're taking my kid to jail. Because you don't want to raise your kids to be scared of cops. Like on the side of town that I work, kids are raised to hate cops.
Well, yeah.
And to fear them. We're not there to help. And it causes this big societal issue. You know, anytime we show up to help somebody, they don't want to talk to us. They don't want to be victims when they've been victimized. And it starts at a very young age. Now, obviously, that's not how you're raising your kids, but there are people.
I wanted it for the picture.
Yeah. That's fine.
I was going to take a picture of him crying because you know he'd cry. And that's what I wanted.
Yeah, I think most kids would.
I wanted him cuffed and crying so I could get the picture. That's all it was for. I wanted it for.
Yeah, I think most cops have that same pet peeve because you get moms all the time. Like, they'll walk up and they'll be like, "You see that officer right there? If you did such and such a thing, he would take you to jail. So you better not do that again."
Yeah.
And so at a very young age, like kids are like, "Oh," like they already fear the authority anyway.
Yeah.
You know, because anytime a cop shows up.
I'm glad I didn't do it.
You think you're going to get in trouble, but.
But it wasn't from like, I need to punish him standpoint. It was like, I really wanted to make fun of him later on with the picture.
Yeah.
And that's, and I've been making fun of him, ever since, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfectly fine. I mean, you can tell your kid, hey, you know, if you call the cops and nothing's going on and you do it too many times, they'll take you to jail. Cause I have arrested people for making false 911 calls. Guy was drunk and I think he called something like 80 times in an hour and he would just cuss at him and hang up the phone. So he showed up at the address. Lady tried to claim the guy wasn't there. So we had dispatch dial his phone and it starts ringing in the back room and he's passed out in the bed with the phone open ringing and a 40 in his hand. So it's like,
oh man.
Yeah.
Anyway, you seen Black Panther yet?
I haven't, man. I want to go so bad.
I think I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go tomorrow afternoon. Some when you go?
Huh?
When you go?
Probably tomorrow night.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow afternoon sometime. There's a lot of hype, and I got to see if it's.
They say they introduce a new character at the end of it.
I think it's going to be Captain Marvel. That's the rumor that she's showing up in Infinity War.
Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
That's probably who it is then.
What's her name? Brie Larson playing her?
Yeah. Okay, what's The Rock playing?
He is...
Shazam?
No, Black Adam.
Black Adam, that's it. That's DC.
Yeah, that's DC. That's the terrible side.
No, DC's all right.
Outside of Batman, it is not.
I give you that, but...
You know they're already killing that universe, right? I don't think it's going to make it to the next iteration.
Well, I think superhero movies are gonna fade out here pretty quick. Marvel's doing pretty decent introducing these people as they go, but I mean, eventually it's gonna go away. I mean, the Avengers are already getting kind of Spider-Man 3-ish.
They're not nearly that bad, but I think what they're gonna do is they're gonna clean a lot of that up. I think a lot of smaller characters are gonna get killed off, and some of the guys that have been around that aren't renewing contracts, like Thor, Tony Stark. Captain America, I think you're going to see a lot of those guys go away or pass it on to somebody else and retire.
Here's what I think they should do.
What's that?
There are two comic book series out there, and they can't go wrong with either one. You can either do The Hulk kills the Marvel Universe or The Punisher kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Have you heard those?
I've seen those. And those are just like little... side stories that aren't canon that are just done in separate universes, but
that's what I'm saying.
I think they save stuff like that for like their animated stuff because they're not gonna put a big budget into something like that.
That's how I'm saying. I'm saying like Disney comes in and says, "Hey Marvel, you got one more Marvel movie left. Punisher kills off the entire Marvel universe."
What if they did Punisher kills the Disney universe and just starts murking all the Disney characters? I'd go see that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad either. But that would have to be animated.
Yeah.
But anyway. So what else, man? My buddy Austin. Oh, you know Austin.
Yeah.
He turned me on to this podcast called The Sword and Scale. You ever heard of it?
No.
Dude, it's nothing but like analysis on mass murderers and serial killers.
Right.
Like they took Edmund Kemper. Have you seen Mindhunter? On Netflix?
I started into it. Really didn't.
Did you get to Ed Kemper?
No. I didn't make it through the first episode.
All right. You got to get to Ed Kemper, the guy who plays Ed Kemper. Mm-hmm. And then and then make your judgment, because that's where it gets really interesting. But they did one on Ed Kemper, but they also did one on this mass murder in Canada, man. And dude was a freak.
Yeah, yeah, they normally are.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, but like, but you know, they try and justify it, and he, you know, his main reasoning for going on this mass killing was his entire life he'd been compared. He had a twin brother, and the twin brother was the athlete in school. He made good grades and went on to be, you know, college and successful at a job and whatever, career, whatever. And he developed this because his mom used to always say stuff like that.
Yeah.
And why can't you be more like your brother and all that? He developed this this twitch or whatever, where whatever his brother did, he was going to do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And so, you know, rather than be good at school, he smoked weed and you know, was a, you know, a stoner and just didn't do anything. But that was his premise behind it, man. Was, yeah. His brother was such a good dude, man. He's like, what's the worst thing I can do? And it's interesting. They did Ed Kemper, too. And Ed Kemper, same thing, man. His mom would beat the smoke out of him.
But yeah. That seems to be pretty stereotypical of serial killers.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely.
Abuse in the home. Because there's a lot of good documentaries on Netflix about serial killers.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them follow similar MOs.
I didn't realize this, but Austin's a big serial killer fan like myself, but he's a big conspiracy theorist, too.
Oh, two red pillars.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, they found a gun in the convoy of Trump's, like in one of the drivers in his convoy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he drove one of the media vans. They found a gun in his sack.
Oh, yeah.
And so they end up, you know, releasing all of them. And that was a tip that Trump's, the Secret Service got to find them. But I say that because there's this book called Behold a Pale Horse, written by this dude named Bill Cooper,
mm-hmm.
who was in the Navy, held all these top secret clearances. But the interesting thing about that is in that book he writes that Kennedy was shot by the Secret Service agent driving the car that he was in. And so, you know, you got the Rutabaker film, or whatever they call it.
I think it was Zapruder or something like that.
Yeah, Zapruder. That's what it's called. The Zapruder film. And when you go look at the Zapruder film, now there are two shooters. The coroner already, when Trump released the FBI or the sealed JFK files, it's already been documented there are two shooters and one bullet. The bullet that went through his neck came in through the front. It didn't go in through the back. So it went through the front and then exited through his spine. Anyway, so you watch the Zapruder film because you're like, surely you'd be able to see the Secret Service agent turn around and shoot the president, right?
Yep.
Right when the president gets shot in the throat, there's a big sign in front of it. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, yeah. Of all.
So do you think he was in on it, filming it? Like he knew it was going to happen at that instant.
No,
sure
what
the
I think
sign was in the way, or do you think that was just coincidence?
No. What I think happened was, that Zapruder film that was released back whenever it was released by some media source, and they damaged the file. So that's what I think. I think it caught them, and then they damaged it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, purpose. Man. I have a hard time buying into conspiracy theories.
Well, so did I until, and I've said this before, till you learn where the term conspiracy theory came from.
Yeah.
And why it was created.
Yeah.
And now you kind of, now I do think there's some outlandish ones. I do think
9/11 was an inside job.
Do I?
9/11 was an inside job.
No. See, the thing about those things is I think they know more. Well, like this kid in Parkland. I think it's obvious that, I mean, the FBI ignored calls. They went to his house supposedly 32 times and ignored it. It's in some prominent senators and congressmen's district. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I mean, how the guy got over there. Now, whether he did it or not, Because there's some that'll say that he was a patsy, he was led to the school, and then, you know, you had CIA and FBI agents shooting the people up, whatever. I won't go that far. But I think they knew he was capable of it, and he eventually did it. I think they ignored some of the things. I think 9/11, possibly, they could have known something, maybe ignored it.
Yeah.
For that reason, but...
My thing is, it's like, you have to think about how many people live in this country... And how many tips they're getting every single day. I can go on YouTube right now and there's people threatening to kill, you know, Dana Lash of the NRA and all a bunch of other conservative, you know, reporters. And it's a daily thing. I don't think they follow up on probably 75% of those.
No doubt.
The ones that are a little bit more prominent, like they actually meld something to their house, they probably follow up on. Or threats to the president, they probably do a little bit more follow up on. But, I mean... A kid without an icon on YouTube, you know, shooting a message about being a professional shooter someday probably isn't going to get followed up on in most counties. Now, the issue is that there was a bunch of domestic violence and other things going on there that were never – it kind of sounds like they were never properly reported, if reported at all.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you, you know, as a police officer – you know, we don't do a report every time we go to a house.
Okay, but if you've been to that house – 30-something times.
At some point in time, a report probably would have been generated.
Would you go into the house at all?
Because what would... Well, I mean, you have to have legal reasoning to go into a house.
Okay, but you're called out there for domestic violence.
Yeah, still doesn't necessarily give you the right to enter the property. Unless, you know, exigent circumstances, you think somebody's life is in danger.
32 times, though?
32 times. Here's what I would do. If I'm going to a house 32 times in a short period of time, I'm going to start generating a paper trail so that eventually if something happens, we have a paper trail on it. Like, you know, there's some houses where you have like a Signal 8 guy, a mental patient, and he calls because there's something in his attic. You know, you're not going to do a report on that unless they absolutely demand it. Domestic violence, if it happens over and over again, if there's marks... You don't have to have a victim sign a ticket in order to press charges. You can press charges on behalf of the state. And right. They just have to have marks and meet the other qualifiers for domestic violence. So whether or not that was done, again, another one of the issues is so many people want to argue this now. We don't have all the facts yet. This happened, you know, a week ago, and we're already having, you know, quote unquote town hall meetings, you know, orchestrated by CNN to just, you know, put a bunch of, you know, conservatives out in front of a crowd of victims and let them be yelled at.
And that's the thing. And from a conspiracy theory standpoint, and I think there are more coincidences than they probably give credit for. I don't think the earth is flat, but I do think that people who are hiding, and I don't think they're lizard people and all that. But I do think that those things are put out there to dilute the real conspiracy realities. The things that are really happening, I think they're putting out some of the bunk ones to kind of lump everything together. Does that make sense? So, you know, if you believe in flat earth and lizard people and aliens and all that, then they're going to lump you in as just a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas, if you think the CIA killed JFK for Lyndon B. Johnson, they're going to lump you in to the flat earth lizard people group.
Under the term conspiracy theory.
Right. I think there's some validity to it.
Yeah, maybe. A lot of times some people that can't, like, possibly comprehend that somebody could actually just do something like that, I think they're going to look for an excuse. You know, you can blame government and pretend like government orchestrates everything. You know, like one of the popular 9/11 ones was nobody actually was killed in the planes. They were empty, and they unloaded them and massacred them in some, you know, hangar on some airstrip somewhere, like stuff like that. And on something like this, I think
I
honestly think it was just a crazy kid that was able to buy a firearm that he shouldn't have been allowed to buy, and he went and shot up the school.
Well, yeah,
I think it's pretty cut and dry. I think most of these mass shooters are pretty cut and dry.
But I think the politicizing of it afterwards,
that's what causes people to think it's a conspiracy theory, because, you know, guns are always going to be a hot topic. They're always going to be a debated issue, and they're always going to use negative media or negative news stories to go after it on one side. And if something positive happens, like a rapist gets shot by somebody defending themselves with a firearm, then the other side's going to go at it with the same veracity.
Right.
So it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, oh, well, the liberals orchestrated this so they would have an argument to take our guns away. No, I don't think that's the case. I think they feel the way they feel about firearms. Most of them don't own them, so they don't care about them. They don't exercise that right like we do. And so whenever they have an opportunity to try and force their belief of you can live without guns, I think they're going to hop on it. You know, it's grandstanding. It's kind of a sad fact, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I do think they're trying to take them away, though.
See, I don't...
But
there are some. There are absolutely some that are trying to take them away.
But the thing is right now, California is one of the worst. And yeah. I got a buddy, Todd,
who's... New York right behind it.
I got a buddy, Todd, who's big gun advocate, and he said what California did was they just changed little bits of law, kind of like what's being done now. They're proposing upping the age to 21. They're proposing putting mental illness on the table as a reason.
Yeah.
To do it, which I don't necessarily like that.
Yeah, so
for this reason, because
we'll get back to that after you're done.
Yeah, and then taking away the bump stock,
yeah,
or whatever, and that's just that, you know, those little things where, you know, gun owners, you know, the NRA is like, no, we don't want to do it, but most rational people are like, okay, well, you get to keep your guns, but those are things you don't necessarily need. But then the next time something like this happens, then it's going to take away that next little thing, and then up to something. I don't agree with the mental illness, and I don't, you know, they kept trying to say, what was it? The no fly list. If you're on a no fly list, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun type thing.
Yeah.
You know, which I would agree with that in theory. The problem is you now have to go put a very strict set of laws on how you get on a no fly list.
Yeah. Because I've read a story a year or two back about a guy that had done nothing and accidentally was put on the no-fly list. And to get off of it so he could purchase a gun was apparently like a nightmare.
Right.
So the risk you run when you do that is just giving government way too much power.
I agree.
Just far-reaching power. Because look at what Obama did with the IRS. He went after the Tea Party. So mm-hmm. What's to keep him from using the ATF to go after people that want to purchase firearms that don't have the same political views as him? You know,
right.
And it's as easy as putting people in power that are like-minded and saying, hey, we need your organization to do this. And the lower people on that organization may have no idea that it's going on. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're just being directed unknowingly to do that.
Exactly. And, you know, and what I don't like about this mental illness thing is you need to define mental illness.
Yeah.
Because
which nobody can do.
My concern is you're gonna put PTSD as a mental illness.
Yeah.
And then, in my opinion, the most qualified people to be handling guns aren't going to be able to secure them. And the thing is, I mean, if we're completely honest, the reason the Second Amendment was put into the Constitution was to protect the citizens from the government.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's in all honesty, I really think, me personally, the Second Amendment is the linchpin of, I think if you were to come in today and scratch the Second Amendment from the Constitution, that will be
the fuse.
That will be the fuse that lights this revolutionary bomb. Know what I mean?
But here's the thing with that. They have no way to mobilize to take our guns away. And that's what I try and tell people. Look at it like this. Your first line of enforcement is your local law enforcement. I live in the community. I'm not taking guns away from my community, especially from people who own.
Well, and that's exactly.
And then the next level is the National Guard. Guess where they live? In the community. They're also not going to go after, you know, legal gun owners in their community. And then you have Big Army. Like, you know, these people are patriots that believe in the Second Amendment. You're not, you have no muscle to go and enforce that law. So I don't even see them ever trying.
Well, but that's the thing. The thing is I think they realize that. I think they realize cops aren't going to take, I mean, like we talked about when you were on it last time, having some liberty to kind of, you know, if it's not right, you're not going to do it. I mean, confiscating guns, Second Amendment rights, may not necessarily fall in that particular realm of liberty. But I don't think, like I said, the cops, National Guard, or the military are going to come in and take guns away. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a martial law type thing where they're just going to come in and start grabbing guns.
Yeah, and they know that on the left.
I know they know it on the left.
I think that's why they're trying to get, you know,
so,
I guess just
so,
anything they can. I actually agree with some of the things that are being proposed, which we can go back and hit on that. But it's so funny to me. I watched the town hall last night, and they would say something like, you know, we need to make guns harder to get. We need to get guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. And Dana Lash, representative for the NRA, was like, yes, we absolutely agree with you. We need more laws to regulate who can and can't get guns. And then people in the audience are screaming, well, that's not enough. That's exactly what you're asking for.
Oh yeah.
And it kind of like you said, it may never be enough for somebody that has such radical views. They can get this, but they're going to want more. But I think at the same time, it gives us a rational argument. If we do this and it doesn't work, well, look, we made more laws. Obviously more laws didn't work. So we're not ever going to give up guns. What do you propose now? And they won't have a leg to stand on.
You know, I think I think if they do try and take the guns, they will employ the use of a foreign government,
which would get wrecked if
a
they
foreign military,
over
which then you will have a Red Dawn scenario.
That's right. We got the Wolverines right here in this room, man.
But you know, and I think what people need to understand is that what you see, I think both sides, right and left, I think there is a 15 to 20% group on both sides that will not budge regardless.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So, I've debated both sides of them probably.
Right. So you've got 40% of the population that's going nowhere. You could lay the most well thought argument and debate in any topic. And if it's and you just use immigration, for example. I mean, you've got these far right people who want nothing to do with any type of immigrant. Mm. No one comes in.
Yeah.
Whereas in a rational person's like, yeah, we want that beneficial person. If you can contribute to society in a positive way, we want you here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you have that person on the right that's like, no, I don't want anyone here.
Yeah.
Then you got the person on the left, like gun laws, where even if you say, hey, you know, statistically speaking, and statistics are hard because you can make statistics say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But statistically speaking, if you really look at it from a pure standpoint, guns protect more than they hurt.
Yeah.
You know, for every one school shooting incident, there are probably a dozen instances where families are protected from the bad guys and all that.
Yeah, they said it's somewhere around 600,000 times a year somebody's right. protected with a firearm.
Right. So, but the left side, the radical side is not going to believe any of that.
Yeah.
The problem is the media throws those 20% in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get this idea that nobody wants guns. Whereas then there's a 60% middle majority, like the people. Apparently, the people who met with Trump in the White House were real pleased with what he said, and
yeah, and a lot of what he's saying, I agree with to a degree.
Right.
The area where it gets slippery, like you said, is mental illness. The age being 21 for a semi-automatic firearm, I'm kind of okay with. I think you need to change maybe the laws on like pistols, because at some point you're talking about like protection versus sport versus hunting and all that stuff. I think you should be able to carry a pistol when you're 18 for protection, because you're in college by yourself when you're 18. You're totally self-sufficient if you're not, you know.
Do you think you should be able to?
But
do you think you should be able to hunt when you're? Because there are kids out there. I had buddies when I was in junior high who owned rifles.
Are they hunting with their parents though?
No, these guys. I mean, we lived in a small town called Steamville, so
yeah.
A lot of these kids live.
I think to a certain age, you should have parental supervision with a firearm.
No, I agree.
I don't think a 14-year-old should ever be alone with a firearm. That's kind of my thought.
There
are kids that are perfectly capable. There are
country boys out there that hunt for that reason.
I'm not going to argue that. I just think it's one of those things where it's an age thing and a maturity thing, and you have to kind of address it to the dumbest person.
No, I agree. I agree there, but point being is I don't think a 14-year-old should not be able to. I think on a deer lease.
Yeah.
I think his dad should be able to leave him in the deer lease by himself to hunt.
And I'm indifferent on the being 21 to buy one thing. Like, I kind of agree with it and I kind of don't. You know, the argument on the right is, well, if you can go die for this country at 18, you should be able to buy that same firearm.
And I'd agree with that.
Yeah, but where that argument falls apart is I was also issued a fully automatic grenade launcher, a tow missile launcher, a javelin, these things that you can't purchase here. So just because that somebody, the government put it in your hands when you were 18 doesn't make it.
Is it Sweden?
What's where they require everybody to have a firearm in their house?
They issue it to you at 18.
Yeah.
Like that's part of but you have to go through classes.
Right, which I also think we should need to start.
No, doing. I agree. And go through classes on how to handle it, and then they're issued a gun. I mean, it's kind of, and apparently from a statistic standpoint, it's one of the safest places to live.
Yeah, I would argue, you know, at 18 as a civilian, do you need an AR-15 to protect yourself? Yeah, like a shotgun. Yeah, you know, a pistol. Yeah,
well,
things you can carry. Concealed.
Okay, the AR-15 is, I mean, let's face it, you're either hunting with it, because you can hunt with them. I have a buddy who hunts with it.
Very, very few people hunt with them. Yeah, they can do some varmint hunting with them, which they're pretty much just shooting things that are tearing up their land.
But, you know, you can hunt with them, but in all honesty, the AR-15 is there for Red Dawn scenarios.
I mean,
we're going to shoot parachuting Russians out of the sky. I mean, essentially is what...
And it's
what they're for, which is
good.
You can
use it to defend your house. That's fine. I totally agree with that. I don't see it as a necessity. I can defend my house with a pistol. I can defend my house with a shotgun. You know, I think most people have it for sport, to go and shoot targets and, you know, in the end of the world scenario And I don't want to deny them that.
Zombie apocalypse.
I just don't know if most 18-year-olds are responsible enough to go out and train with one. Like, and like with the 14-year-olds hunting out in, you know, backwoods, wherever, there are kids that are perfectly responsible enough to go and do it, but you have to address it down to the dumbest level.
Yeah. No, I agree. But again, I think my issue is I think when you deal with the gun laws, you're dealing with you're putting a Band-Aid on a problem. There's a deeper problem to all this.
Right.
And I think part of the problem is the psychedelic drugs and the, you know, that kind of, I mean, let's get a better grasp on what mental illness is. Let's get a better grasp on those type of things. But the problem is gun control is the issue that people are trying to spin with it.
Yeah.
They don't care. The bottom line is government doesn't care about these kids with mental illnesses.
No. Well, I mean, they've shut down like 90% of the mental health care facilities we've had since the 50s. And now we have less than like, you know, a couple thousand beds available in Oklahoma. We had 50,000 calls to one hospital last year for mental health transports. So, like, obviously there's an issue there that we've just chosen not to address anymore.
Well, I think that's the issue too, is this mental illness. I think the easy thing is they just drug it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can't institutionalize them, that's what you have to do. If that's what you believe in, I mean, how else would you correct that problem?
Mental illness?
Yeah.
If you can't
assign them to a facility where they're going to have a caregiver watching over them.
Yeah, but how many people need a facility?
A lot.
I mean, how many people are just like not feeling good? about themselves. They're just down in the dumps, yeah. And we're like, hey, here's some drugs.
So those calls to that hospital are people that have been taken there, evaluated, and needed to be transported somewhere else.
Evaluated by who, though?
Mental health care providers. Like, yeah. they have people there just for that reason. They have, like, one or two that just wait there all night for people to be brought in, and they evaluate them and determine whether or not they need to be admitted. Yeah. Like, it's got its own little wing now.
Yeah, and again, I don't know. I know some people who have been given the certain type of drugs. Here's my issue. My issue is like, if you've got to read the fine print at the end of an antidepressant, you know, the may cause
suicidal tendencies.
Yeah, suicidal tendencies, or if you start feeling depression, why is that okay to give somebody?
Well, whenever I trained as a crisis intervention officer, which is dealing with mental health care patients in the field as a police officer. And the way, you know, diagnosing and treating was kind of taught to me was look at a dartboard with 500 different options of drugs you could prescribe for this one diagnosis and just throw it and try it. Like, that's essentially what doctors are doing. Cause what works for you may not work for me, and what makes you suicidal might make me perfectly functional. And they have no idea.
Here's back to the conspiracy theory. The last 5 years, 60 of the top cancer research doctors have gone missing or died suspicious deaths.
I'd have to look that one up.
60 of them. That's 60. Once someone did the analysis and said 20. But these are the top 20 people in cancer research and development. And supposedly the cure... Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice, supposedly was diagnosed with some stage 4 type of cancer, where typically when you're diagnosed with that type of cancer, you have like a matter of months to live. And that was 08-09. So the conspiracy is that there's a cure for cancer, but it's being suppressed because it's such a big money disease. You know what I mean?
And you don't think that you could just sell that drug at a higher value than the treatment to treat cancer?
That's the thing. It's all natural. Our body produces a protein that binds with vitamin D vitamin D. Our body produces cancerous cells on a daily basis. And there's a protein that our body produces that binds with vitamin D. By the way, take your vitamin D, with magnesium.
Yeah.
But, anyway, just health tip. But anyway, that particular protein with vitamin D goes and kills those cancer cells. And these doctors basically are saying, we can inject this protein into your system. When you're diagnosed with cancer, we can inject it into your system. Because that's what happens when your body contracts cancer. The cancer inhibits your body from producing this protein. So these doctors are like, well, if we inject protein, this natural protein into it, and then it'll end up killing the cancer. You never hear about these big politicians or anyone like that ever getting cancer and dying from cancer. Ever. Maybe so I'm not. Telling you, it's out there. But the point being is this, if that is the case, I'm just saying that's out there. That's a possibility. But if that is the case and money's the issue, you've got other things that you can go spend your money on researching, and mental health is one of those things.
Yeah.
It is one of those things where you can help. CTE is another one that, you know, Alzheimer's and ALS and dementia, those things are things that you can spend money on. Let's get the cure for cancer out of the way and then go put the money on these things.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. The problem is it's too much of a money pit right now. Plus, they're trying to depopulate us. Another conspiracy theory.
I think you're derailing us.
Yeah, you're probably right. But the point being is that I think gun control is a band-aid. I just think it's a hot topic item that people want to discuss, and it's deterring from the root problem, which is these people need help and they're not getting it.
Yeah.
And
there's. And when I look at gun control and I try to address that issue, what we need to look at is what's changed because there's been more guns per capita throughout history, you know, more than we have now, per person. That we've had higher rates in the past. I would assume it's probably sometime in the 40s after World War II, and there was just guns all over the place, and people came back with them and all that stuff. But what has changed over the last 50 years that's led us to this point where we have one a month, you know, or, you know, two or three bad ones a year?
Well,
and, you know, people say, well, you can't, they've done research, you can't blame video games, you can't blame movies.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, but we've done a lot of things to desensitize people.
Well, I think part of it is information is so readily available.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, I remember Columbine. I was in high school in Columbine, and that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was on the news, but that had already happened.
Yeah.
By the time we heard about it, that had already happened. Then you fast forward to Virginia Tech, and
you're getting reports as it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching the news coverage as the guy's in the building shooting it up.
Yeah,
and you're watching it on the internet or Facebook, whatever. And I think that's the difference. I think that's what's changed.
Yeah,
I don't think the fact that.
Well, and we've made these people famous.
Well, that's the other thing.
And if you're suicidal and you want your name to go down in history, then this is what you do now.
Exactly. And we do. I mean, you look at, guarantee you.
Yeah.
The Klebold and Harris kid, Dylan Harris and whatever Klebold, the two Columbine guys, mm-hmm. guarantee you most of the majority, if they can name anyone from that scenario, it's going to be those two guys.
Yeah.
You can't name one victim.
No, not at all.
But you can name both those, you know, but people are going to be able to name those two kids.
Yeah. And I hope this trend catches on. It's something I can't remember when he started doing it. Philip DeFranco on YouTube never shows the faces. I don't even know that he mentions the names anymore when they're involved in something like that. Ben Shapiro just said that the Daily Wire is going to do the same. They're no longer going to report their names or put their images up on there. And I think if everybody followed suit, and you were just going to go down as a blank icon that, you know, insert photo here, I think it would be a lot different.
I'll tell you what has changed, though. University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember back in the 50s or 60s. Dude on the bell tower,
yeah, the tower was
sniping people. They had a radio announcer come out and was broadcasting live, say, hey, there's an active shooter at the University of Texas. If you have your rifle or your pistol in your car, please go to the campus.
Yeah.
And essentially what you had was you had dozens of men who had rifles in the back of their car because they hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their pistol because you could carry it back then without any type of issues. And they essentially went out, took cover, and just started shooting at him.
Yeah.
And so he ended up having to take cover the entire time. And that allowed the cops to get in the building, work their way up, and eventually shoot him. Because they couldn't get to the building because he was just sniping them.
Yeah.
And so essentially what happened was they were out, I mean, citizens with guns went out and just started laying cover for the cops. And the cops went up and eventually got them.
Yeah.
And I think I think an argument against gun control is just that. I think if there was somebody with a gun in that school, or if you didn't know that somebody in that school had a gun or didn't have a gun, I think if you have a known soft target, I think you're making yourself susceptible to those kind of attacks. And I think that's what's changed. I just think there's more soft targets.
Yeah.
These days. And because you never hear about, very rarely do you, I mean, I don't even know if there are cases of like people walking into police departments or something like that and trying to pull off a mass shooting.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're going to do it,
I don't know.
Do it like that.
Yeah. Well, and that's
like if you want to go down
argument,
as legendary, be the guy who goes into a cop station and does it. But no one's going to do it because.
Well, that's the thing is they don't want any resistance. They want to go to a gun free zone. That's why they happen in gun free zones. And you know, people make fun of the argument. Well, more guns. Well, on a school campus, if you had more guns shooting in the opposite direction, lives are going to get saved. That's just a fact. Or you're going to deter that guy who maybe wants to kill people and get away with it from doing it because he doesn't want to get killed.
Yeah. The only issue is you do have those guys that are like, this is the moment we've been waiting for, and things get a little out of hand. You know what I mean?
Give them their moment. I mean, if they're going after a school shooter, give them their moment.
I'm just saying, but it may not be a school shooter. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know a lot of gun owners that want to pull it. You know what I mean?
That what?
In public.
No.
I think that's the misconception, though. I think people think that it's you will have that one guy.
Right. And the problem is it's who screams the loudest. So who do we hear? We hear these kids that have been, you know, they're the victims of a school shooting being grandstanded by CNN screaming no guns. And then you have the three percenters on the other side who are equally as emotional and in this case dumb saying no more guns. You're not coming for my guns.
Right.
And what you don't hear is the people in the middle that actually agree on some things like, okay, let's address mental health before purchasing a gun. Let's address, you know, age. Let's address responsibility. Let's get rid of person to person sales and bump stocks.
And what I'm saying, that's 70% of the population.
It's less than that. I think it's less than that. Yeah.
Because I have never. I can go talk to 10 people I know about guns, and they're probably, and seven of them probably sitting in that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Well, I had an argument. I had an argument with one the other night. And he's a big, I guess he's a big name on Instagram or YouTube or something. Like, he's more of a comedy dude. And every time I mentioned any type of, like, little bit of reform or tweaking the law, he's like, well, you're violating my Second Amendment rights. And I was like, no, you still have the right to buy the exact same guns you're buying. It's just going to be a little bit more of an inconvenience because now everybody's going to have to play by this rule set. You're going to have to go get an MMPI, which not everybody subscribes to that. Yeah, that's a psychological evaluation. Or you have to be 21, or, you know, you can't sell guns person to person. And they're like, well, why can't I sell my guns to whoever I want to? Well, you might be selling it to a felon, and that's illegal. Like, if you just got rid of, and this is the argument I've been making, get rid of person to person sales, arms list, gun shows, all that stuff. You don't need it. If you want to go buy a gun, go to a gun store, or conduct a legal trade or purchase person to person, just go through an FFL. So you go to a gun store, pay $15 to $25, they do the paperwork, they transfer that gun into your name, and you're done with it.
Yeah, I don't like my guns being tracked, dude.
They track your car, your house, your birth. They know everything about you.
They're not trying to come take my...
Nobody's coming for your guns.
They're not coming for my car or my birth.
Oh, really? If you miss a payment, they're not coming for your car?
Well, it deserves to be done that way.
Okay. Well, if you're doing dumb stuff with your guns, it deserves to be done that way, too.
No. They're not.
Come on.
They're not coming for the guy who's doing dumb stuff with his guns.
They're not coming for anybody. That's the thing.
No, I agree. No, I'm just joking.
But, I know.
But that's the point. No, I agree. But
it's a stupid argument.
I still think that man is in the smaller percentage of people.
Yeah, possibly. But this is the way I try to describe it to him. Oklahoma was the number one. Had more meth labs than any other state. No more than like 10 or 15 years ago. So what did we do? We took Sudafed off the shelves, we put it back in the pharmacy, made it harder to get. Now where are all the meth labs? They're gone. Most people are doing the single, you know, pop bottle method where they make it in a Coke bottle and shake it up.
Uh-huh.
We don't find many meth labs. I think we may have had like one in my 5 years as a police officer. Like, we trained on it in the academy, but we just haven't done anything with them. Guns. Okay, you make them, you know, less available to just the general public to where they have to go and actually go to a store or do it legally through a certain process. It's to me that it works in the same way, because I've probably confiscated 100 guns from criminals in the past 5 years or been on calls where that's happened. Hardly ever do they come up stolen. They've never been reported stolen. And that's because somebody bought it legally from a gun owner who purchased it legally. And then it's just been handed down and handed down and handed down. And I'm not saying you're going to stop that, but I think you can curb it. I think you can keep that guy who's just ignorant to the fact, you know, of, hey, I'm selling to a felon, and he just wants to make a quick buck because his wife's, you know, yelling at him about making a payment. I think you stop that. I think you stop that altogether. And it's this legal guns are responsible for 20% of gun violence. I think that's about a rough estimate of about where it's at the statistics I looked at.
Uh-huh.
So if you can stop 20% of gun crime, that's a healthy amount of gun crime.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And all it does is inconvenience you by 10 to 15 minutes in a drive to a gun store. I don't see what the issue is there. And I don't see anybody making a valid argument against it.
No, and I agree. And if you're selling your gun to somebody, you should want that. Because if that dude does go...
Yeah, I don't want the cops calling me if that gun gets used to murder somebody.
Exactly.
I'm okay with the accurate tracking of firearms to a certain individual. I don't see an issue with it. Like I said, you register so much. That drone on the floor right there is registered.
I agree.
It's...
But the thing is on the reciprocal end of that, you got to quit threatening to take away the gun.
Yeah, and I don't even think the majority of representatives on the left want that. Like I said, I think it's...
Oh, no, man.
I think it's
NRA.
It's the crazy people on the left that are screaming the loudest that, no guns, we don't need them, which is just a ridiculous argument.
Yeah, dude, I hate that Australia argument.
Yeah, have their population compared to ours, like, come on now.
Well, but have you seen, like, we don't have guns, so, you know, and we have no mass shootings. It's like, you got mass stabbings. You know, stabbings and bludgeonings have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Point is, you're going to,
Well, there was more murders with, like, hammers last year or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's the point. The point is, you take the guns away.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, you know, people run over people with cars. You're going to take away cars? No. Why? Because that's a number one.
Well, and I have friends that would argue that you can't compare the two. Because guns are their main purpose is to kill. So you can't sit there and use a vehicle as an analogy. And I'm like, well, yeah, they're used to kill, but they're supposed to be used to kill in defense or in wartime, maybe offense. They're not made for murder.
Well, I'd say a majority of guns are discharged either in sport or in hunting.
Oh, well, that's going to be an overwhelming number.
That's what I'm saying.
I've put a 250,000 rounds down range.
So what I'm saying is if you want to take that argument against cars, you could take the argument with guns.
Well, and it has to do with misuse. So it is a good analogy.
Well, anything
misused. If you take a vehicle and you misuse it and you use it to murder somebody, that's just as bad as taking a gun, which, yes, a gun is built to kill, but it's not made to kill innocent people. Like,
right.
So you're misusing that gun.
Dude, you can
go
misuse
and commit
anything,
murder.
Man.
Yeah. So to me, the argument is valid. You know. So it's like we don't enact prohibition every time somebody gets a DUI or kill somebody in a DUI accident.
No, and that's I agree. But because in fact, I would say if I'm trying to take a bunch of people out, I'm using a car outside of a gun. Probably be more successful in a bigger truck.
Yeah, well, look at the trends in terrorism. That's kind of what they turn to.
Exactly. So, anyway, yeah. You troll anybody? I started trolling this dude named V Shreds. I'm just going to change the subject.
Okay. What are you
transition? There's a dude on YouTube. If you're into fitness and you have a fitness question or looking for pointers, there's a guy. He's probably hands down the best YouTube channel in fitness. It's called AthleanX.
Yeah, a lot of people recommend
it. Yeah, he is hands down the most knowledgeable guy and hands down just best source. Been doing it forever, good quality videos. If you haven't seen him, he magic markers his body. He's extremely ripped.
Yeah.
But he'll magic marker his body different colors so you can see the muscle as it works and all that. I mean, just great channel. Then there's this dude named V Shreds who is literally copying this man's videos. Like, not even trying to make it his own twist, is literally just doing this guy's videos over and over again. So anyway, I don't know why I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Have you ever watched Infinite Edge Intensity?
Yeah.
The Asian Lawyer?
That's how I found out about the guy.
Yeah. The Don't Say V-Shirt copies Athlene X or else.
Yeah.
Lawyered.
Yeah, he's sending, which is funny because Edge Intensity is actually a lawyer.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
So it's funny how
his thumbnail is him magic markering his body. Like his second video.
Who's that?
V-Shreds.
V-Shreds, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so he's been called out by a bunch of dudes on it, right?
Yeah.
And he's sending cease and desist, which you've got to understand, man. Like, when you do something like that, you're just going to bring the... It's just like disturbing a hornet's nest, man. Once somebody figures out about it and they because everyone loves these cease and desist. Like, who's lawyering up, you know, to go after somebody?
Yeah.
And they pick sides and all that. So, anyway.
Yeah. And what's funny is, so Athlean X is at 4.5 million subscribers. That other guy's at 424. Still respectable, but...
Oh, yeah.
Stealing somebody else's content.
But the thing is he doesn't think people are going to notice it because he's doing stuff from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is he's doing the, it's so bad. He's using the same exact thumbnails and he's not even trying to change.
Well, there's probably a tactic to that, man, where he's wanting people that don't know any better to click on and subscribe to him by just blurring the line between that guy's content and his. Yeah, but
this is, I mean,
it's dirty. It's dirty. It's
blatant.
But I mean, 420 something thousand subscribers is respectable. Yeah, you can
buy subscribers though. And I'm convinced a lot of these people do that to swing the algorithms.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I mean, he has 425,000, but I watched, you know, some of his videos and he only has like a couple thousand views. You know what I mean? His engagement's real low.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know. But anyway, it just brings up to me, personally, the issue with the fitness industry and the social media. Social media has been terrible for the fitness industry.
Fake weights, man.
I mean, I and then that's the thing, you know, some, you know, like you told me the other day, with that girl who put 900 pounds on her, supposedly did a wall sit with 900 pounds.
On her thighs, yeah.
On her thighs, and then was called out by some guy. So actually, which, I don't know. I don't know if it's courageous or stupid to actually fly out to L.A. to try and disprove him with his weights. So
I respect that, though. I mean, obviously, he's a weightlifter, and he's a social media guy. So, I mean, that's great content for him to go out there and do it. And it... kind of, it opens up that door to people actually coming to an understanding that most of the stuff they see on Instagram and Facebook is fake. Because you see these guys that are like what's his name, Instructor Zero. You remember his videos, the shooter? He's like Israeli or something.
Oh.
And come to find out, like, the guy never served, and he was just a super rich guy that had a range in his backyard. Yeah. But he's out there, like, training guys like he's Special Forces. And there's a bunch of other guys in the gun community that are like that. They own property, and they have land. And you can edit videos to make yourself look like a professional shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody sees the 50 times you miss the target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. So. That's like that I don't know, her name's Callie Bundy. You've probably seen her. Pretty good looking chick, but she can throw a football and hits everything.
Oh yeah.
It's like, okay, we know you throw the ball like 50 times before you hit it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, but she kind of perfect or anything else.
Yeah, but she kind of admits that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of Juju Mufu. He's weird, man. He'll be go camping. He can do the splits. I mean, he's very, very agile. So he'll build a fire.
And oh, is he the jacked dude with the long hair? Yeah, yeah, I've seen him. Yeah.
And he'll sit over that dude with the splits over the fire, and he'll military press like 135 while he does it.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, yeah, those are fake weights. You think I'm dumb enough to do something like that with heavy weight? Like, and he says, I made a living, you know, doing that with the fake weights. So I don't mind the fake weights because it's stupid stuff. That's kind of just entertaining to watch, whatever.
The issue is when some stupid kid tries to go out there and do it and, you know, rips his groin.
I think that's why you should tell them this is fake weights, you know, for that reason. But this girl, first off, you're using fake weights.
Yeah.
Second off, you're doing something that is completely irrelevant to strength.
Yes.
Even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anyone who knows anything knows that.
Yeah.
Knows that a majority of the weight is being held up by your tibia. That's where most of that 900 pounds or whatever it was is sitting on.
So, the rest is being transferred out the back of the wall.
Exactly. So, you know, and it's not a legitimate measure of strength.
No.
I mean, that's the problem. And that's the issue is that you have that. I know people who post, you know, videos of them lifting weights and then, you see them doing like 100-pound dumbbells or 225 on the bench or 315, whatever. Those are kind of the marquee things. And what they'll do is they'll put 405 on the bench and then they'll just take a picture of them leaning on it or take a picture of them sitting on the bench before they do it.
Yeah, I know those guys.
Yeah, and they'll act like, oh, you know, 405 was tough today, but, you know, we're going to grind it out, whatever.
Yeah.
But the problem is you're doing a 100-pound dumbbell press, and you're struggling to get 9.
Yeah.
You know, and as someone who does bench over 400 pounds, I know what a 100-pound dumbbell press should look like if you can do 400 pounds legitimately.
Yeah.
And it's not struggling to get 9.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's the issue. The issue is like, you're better off not posting any videos, because people who can legitimately do the weight that you think you can call you out on it. 315. Yeah. If you can't rep 315 10 times, you can't do 405.
No.
You know what I mean? And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
There's just that level of strength that goes in that, but that's the problem. The other thing is steroids, you know, and whether you agree with them or not, we won't go into that. Dude, 90% of them are on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody put on Twitter the other day that if the Olympic curling teams are being disqualified for performance enhancing drugs, you better believe your favorite YouTube or Instagram person is on performance enhancing drugs, yeah. You know? So
that's hilarious.
Anyway, so that's I think that's why I troll the dude.
Yeah. Well, people bring it on themselves. Like I don't really troll anybody. I troll just the liberal community as a whole, especially when they cling on to stupid things like Amy Schumer. Like, I'll get on an Amy Schumer video and make a comment that I know is just going to trigger, you know, the 500,000 people that liked it, you know? If you look at her most recent trailer, I think it's like 50 or 60,000 dislikes to like 2,000 likes. So I go out there and I try to trigger those 2,000 people, you know? And yeah. What's funny is it works every single time. And it's just, I'm just being a jerk, but the message that Amy Schumer presents is just, it's ridiculous. The body positivity thing when she is just living a totally unhealthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't mind
the body positivity thing. You know, as a dad with two daughters, I don't want them to be so obsessed with their body. I want them to be healthy though.
Yeah.
And that's my issue.
You can be healthy and be bigger.
Right. No, I agree. And you can carry a decent amount of body fat and be healthy.
Yeah.
My issue is that people are using this to down a box of Twinkies and act like there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
When, you know, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is if a woman who weighs 110 pounds downs a box of Twinkies and just can't put on the weight, it's not healthy for her to do it either.
Right.
You know? And so it's more about the lifestyle. If you're living a healthy lifestyle, you know, it doesn't matter what your body looks like.
Yeah.
But don't.
And it's kind of like the thing with like Kelly Clarkson, where she's been super skinny in the past, and then she's fat, and then she's super skinny, and then she's fat. And everybody's like, oh, well, you can't say anything about her being big. It's like, well, I know she's capable of being skinny. Like, well, she's obviously worked out, and now she's just choosing not to work out because now body positivity is popular. And don't get me wrong, I think everybody should be
comfortable in their own.
Yeah, to a degree, but you need to also be realistic and recognize, you know, I can't see my feet anymore. Something's wrong.
Well, yeah.
I think we've all been there. We've all been bigger.
Exactly. Well, you look at,
but I don't go out and preach to people, this is how you need to look if you're actually accepting who you are.
Exactly. That's the other thing. The other thing is the body positivity people who are hating on the people who are in great shape.
Well, and that's what this new movie is totally about, or at least from what you can see from the trailer, is she has, you know, a hot skinny friend, and then she walks up to her and her friend's like down on herself about something, and she's like, oh, I just want to punch you in the face, because she's like, oh, I just feel down on myself today. And it's like, oh, well, if you're hot and skinny, apparently you can never feel bad.
Right, exactly. And
the whole message of the movie is like fat and happy or skinny and shallow.
Which, yeah.
You know, okay, I get it.
Yeah, like I said. But my other issue with that whole body positivity thing is you have women who trounce around in their underwear for whatever reason, like Instagram, YouTube, gym, whatever, yet they want to jump on it too.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm insecure too about this. It's like, no, you're not.
No.
You know what I mean? You're trying to jump onto a trend.
You're so insecure, you take pictures in front of a mirror 15 times
exactly,
a day.
Exactly.
To the tune of like 14,000 likes per post.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, stay out of it. You know? Like, you know, that, I don't know. Like, the whole, I think there is too much put on the body, particularly for women. Like Lady Gaga. You remember Lady Gaga in the Super Bowl a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Just had a... I mean, I'll just call it the normal woman kind of... I mean, she was wearing some tight pants and she had a little muffin top, which most of the population would have the same muffin top.
Like 90%,
yeah. Exactly. And people razzed her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's uncalled for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, if you want to comment on... If you want to comment about her outfit, you know... That's one thing, but simply to say she shouldn't be wearing it because she has a muffin top.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should either say she shouldn't be wearing it because she shouldn't be wearing it or whatever, but not because if she didn't have the muffin top, then it would be okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just because, and I didn't think she looked that bad or whatever, you know, just like whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but again, you had those, and the funny thing is it's usually the bigger dudes. The fat dudes are like the most brutal on these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's like a...
Not have a mirror?
Yeah, must not own a mirror, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't get it. No, I go through phases. Like, I was kind of limited on being able to go to the gym and work out over the past couple months because every time my eyes got worked on, I was pretty much down for 2 weeks. Like, I couldn't put any pressure on my eyes, which, you know... When you lift and you're breathing heavy and all that stuff, you don't think about it until, you know, your eyes hurt all the time. And then you realize how much pressure you put on your face when you're lifting because you're straining so bad. And, I put on a little weight and, I don't know. I don't feel good when I'm putting on weight. I feel terrible. Like when it's not good weight. Now, when I'm lifting and I'm getting bigger, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I'm doing nothing and it's just boop, 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 like that's when I'm like, got to make some changes. Because you feel better, like, when you're, and it's not necessarily even related to being thinner, but when you work out and you take care of yourself and you eat right, you just feel better. You have tons of energy because you're dieting right. And it just, I don't see trying to make fun of that lifestyle or calling it vapid and shallow and people who participate in it are just stupid.
Well, okay, but part of the reason people call, it's not the best represented group of people either.
What, the in shape people?
Yeah.
No, because the people that we, you know, we put up there on the forefront are, you know, they're either fake or they are pretty vapid and full of themselves.
Yeah, like here's what I hate. This is what I hate about January. You have every it's just cliche, man.
For people to come into the gym for a week and then give it up till next year?
Just be cliche. Like, feeling down, sick right now, starting to feel better, got my coffee, ready to start dominating 2018. Like, really?
Yeah.
Or, gotta accept the pain. Learn to live with... You know what I mean? It's like, no, you're just saying the same cliche stuff ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
C.T. Fletcher, and I think C.T. Fletcher, I don't know if you've heard of him or not.
Yeah, I know who he is.
I watched him on a Joe Rogan podcast, and I think he's a genuine dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think I would enjoy just talking to him about anything.
Yeah.
Because I think he's just a genuinely nice guy. But I don't need to go listen to this guy yell at somebody for 30 minutes to get me in the mood to go work out.
Yeah.
90% of the time, I hate going to the gym and work. Like, I enjoy working out, but I hate the whole process of going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I kind of have to force myself to do it, but I'm glad I do it after the fact. I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't matter if C.T. Fletcher is yelling. It doesn't matter if I pull up my Instagram and some guy says, dominate 2018 and accept the pain, learn to live with the uncomfortability.
Yeah. I have friends that are more than guilty of
that. That's not going to get me.
And I mean,
you're not helping me, man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe it helps some people. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never gotten on Instagram to post to put up myself as a motivational poster. Like,
no.
You know, if somebody wants a recommendation, you know, private message me. I'll give you some recommendations. Or if I find something's worked great for me, I might post up, hey, maybe give this a try. You know, like meal prep has been a huge part of what I do now. Love it, you know?
Yeah.
And it keeps me eating healthy because if you have food around, you don't go looking for crap food to eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I post up pictures of meal prep. They don't get many likes, but that's all right. But, you know, when you post pictures of yourself in the gym, I just
don't see it. If you post a pizza, it gets more likes.
Yeah, probably.
That's the thing, man. Healthy food doesn't get likes at all.
No.
But.
No. Because I even thought about doing, just for myself, just putting up a YouTube channel, maybe a podcast, like on just meal prep, like simple meal prep. And
well, that's the other thing too.
But people do it so much.
It's so oversaturated.
Yeah.
Which is why you.
And that's everything on YouTube.
And I think that's what people have an issue with V-Shreds about is like, it's already an oversaturated market. Like you've just gone to the point where you're like,
you're just redoing what's been done.
Yeah. But you're not even doing, at least these people who are regurgitating information are going to the effort to make it their information that they're regurgitating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they'll even quote Athlean X in it. This guy's just straight up like, what's this guy doing? All right, we'll do. It's kind of like.
He posts up reaction videos.
He's fitness karaoke is what he's doing. You know, he's just basically copying it. But, and I, like I said, I think from that standpoint of like people who are in shape, that's the problem. The problem, people at the forefront are so cliche and they say the stupidest things.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate that, you know, like, gains train coming, tell 405 to watch out because I'm coming for them, you know, and that stuff. Like, and I've been guilty of it too in the past. And the worst thing for me is Facebook memories, because I will pull up Facebook memories and look at something I wrote 7 or 8 years ago. And I'm like, dude, I'd like to go back in time and beat myself up. You know what I mean? Like, because I was a punk back then too. And so, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm just older and wiser, and I'm like, but these are grown people. Some of these are people older than I am. One guy, he is out of the Air Force, like retired. So he put 20 years in. He's been out for about 3 or 4 years now. So he's in his 40s, and he's talking about dominating 2018. And
I looked up a list of the top 100 motivational gym quotes. You want to hear some of them?
Yeah.
Being defeated is often a temporary condition. Giving up is what makes it permanent.
Okay.
Failure is only a temporary change in direction to set you straight for your next success. If you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. The worst thing you can be is average. Go hard or go home.
People are still using that.
I know,
one.
Yeah.
Like,
eat big, lift big, get big.
Dumb.
When it starts to hurt, that's when the set starts.
Oh,
yeah. The hardest thing about earning a title is the ability to live up to it.
Oh, wait, let's pause there real quick. That one where it starts to hurt and all that. Here's the funny thing. The funny thing is scientific has proven that higher reps are just as beneficial for hypertrophy and strength gain as lower reps.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you doing 405 on the squat 2 times is the equivalent to doing 315 8 times, you're gonna get just as much good out of doing 315 8 times as you are 405 twice.
Well, let me ask you this as the subject matter expert. The people I work out with, like, we lift, we go up in weight, like, as we do sets, and then we do a drop set and burn it out. Is that similar, or is that something totally different?
No, it's different in the sense of,
like, do you think drop sets are good things?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's nothing wrong with the way anyone works out.
Yeah.
It's just, I think you should know it. If you have a chance to follow them, follow Dr. And there are a lot of good doctors. I'll just, people on the subject, but Dr. Andy Galpin is a great source, because he is a very matter of fact type of what he does is he studies the effects on muscles.
Yeah.
You know, so and one example that he gives is that, you know, people who do box jumps, right? They'll say, well, I'm doing this box jump, you know, to work on my explosiveness.
Yeah.
And he'll go, well, how many are you doing? He goes, 10, five sets of 10. When are you doing them? At the end of my workout. He said, well, you're not doing it. You're not at work. You're not helping your explosiveness at all.
Yeah.
Because essentially what you've done, if you're doing it at the end of the workout, you're only getting the last bits of energy out of your body.
Yeah.
And so the explosiveness that you need to build, he said, if you're going to do that, you know, if you're doing it for endurance and cardio, it's great. But he said, don't say you're doing it for explosiveness, because if you're doing explosiveness, you'll do it three times, three sets of three at the beginning of your workout. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so the point being is whatever you're doing, it's going to benefit you. It's just, if you have a goal like powerlifting, for example, drop sets probably aren't the best thing for powerlifting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're great for bodybuilding.
That's more what I'm interested in.
Right. Just so
straight up fitness.
Right.
And getting a little bit bigger.
But what I do for powerlifting probably isn't the best thing for bodybuilding. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's just, the point being is you just have to have a clear goal, and I would highly recommend just being educated on how to reach your goal.
Yeah.
You know, and I would recommend picking a goal. Even if you're not going to step on stage as a bodybuilder, say, just kind of admit to yourself that that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to build your body to a way that you want to look and look decent, and then you can attack it that way.
Yeah.
I personally just want to get strong. So,
you know what it boils down to, though? If the bar ain't bending, you're just pretending.
See, I like that one. I do like that one.
Oh, man. Life's too short to be small.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
The worst thing I can be is the same as everybody else. Obsession is what lazy people call dedication.
I hate that one.
Oh, that's straight up from Rambo. If you don't live for something, you'll die for nothing. I don't see how that plays into the gym at all. You can't flex fat, so shut up and lift.
That's pretty good.
Train hard, so they have to dig deeper than 6 feet into the ground.
I don't get that one.
So when you die, you're so big that they have to dig deeper into the ground. It's not very good.
No, that's not good at all.
Fall down 7 times, get up 8.
That's Denzel Washington.
Yep. Men shouldn't hide weakness. They should kill it.
Oh, gosh. You know, I know somebody who would use that. Like, he would say that and think he was cool.
Golly. Cheat on your girlfriends, not on your workouts. Squat because somewhere there's a girl warming up with your max. That's sexist. I don't approve of that.
That's a little misogynistic.
Come on, guys. It's 2018.
I'll tell you this, man. I know there's a girl named Randy Lee, and she's broken 9 world records. She squats more than I do.
There's a girl at our gym that's there every day, and I think all she does is squat, and she's probably about 150 pounds ahead of me. I don't squat very much at all. Yeah.
But yeah, she's the one thing that I do have going for me is I bench and deadlift more than she does.
Yeah.
Significantly, but she significantly beats me in the squat. And one thing you got to understand too is, in the fitness, is some bodies are just better built for certain things.
Yeah, you know who the Hodge twins are?
Yeah.
They've actually become like super conservative, like talk show guys, I guess, recently.
Yeah, they do stand-up comedy too.
Yeah, and they said, you know, once we got famous, people would come up to us in the gym, and they'd be like, hey, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And they're like, oh, man, you know, just, you know, hit that diet and get that proper exercise. Make sure you're working all your muscles and giving them proper rest and all this stuff. And they'd be like, yeah, man, thanks. And then they'll walk away and be like, man, that guy's got some crappy genetics.
Well, that's the other thing, too, man. Yeah. It's like, that's, you know, a lot of these people have good genetics.
Yeah.
My buddy Cy, man, he's a beast in the gym, and it doesn't matter how hard I work, I will never catch Cy because of his genetics.
Yeah,
and the thing that Cy has going for him is not only his genetics, but he works hard.
Yeah,
and so regardless of how hard I work, he and I working the same amount, putting the same amount of effort into our workouts. If we were, he would be ahead of me the entire time. Just because his genetics, he is built to powerlift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I just, I don't know why people have a hard time accepting that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When I notice differences, like, in the way people look when they start getting bigger. Yeah. Like, you know, the shape of, like, people's, like, pecs, their abs, their arms, all that stuff. I think a lot of that comes down to genetics. You may never be the best looking guy in the room, no matter how big you get.
And, No, you're right.
You know, the earlier you accept that, the better. But, you know, it is what it is. I lift to feel good. That's my main thing. Because when I don't lift and I don't strengthen my back starts hurting. You know, when I don't diet right, my stomach hurts all the time. Things get weird. Like, it's just being healthy. If you can get over the whole, like, how do I look part of lifting and working out, like, I think you'd be better off for it.
Yeah. I think you just need to understand. I mean, there's nothing wrong with lifting for looks, but you got to understand, the professional bodybuilders are juiced to the gills.
Yeah.
So I don't care what supplements they're peddling and you're buying, you're never going to look like them unless you get on their cycles.
Yep.
You know, and I looked at Dennis Wolf's cycles and I think racehorses take less steroids than that dude, you know. But the other thing you got to understand too is, like, that's, bodybuilders are not healthy. Because essentially you get down to an extremely dangerous amount of body fat, and it's the 3-7% range.
Is it Jay Cutler?
Yeah,
big dude. He has to go to pain management like every day.
Yeah, it's terrible on your joints.
Yeah,
you got to understand too is those guys are weighing anywhere from 250 to 300 pounds.
Yeah,
even if they're 10% body fat, and 10 to 15% body fat in the off season at 300 pounds, that's still 300 pounds. Of something your heart has to pump blood through. So you're still not feeling, you know. But the thing is when they step on stage, they're probably at their most unhealthy, unhealthiest for the entire year.
Because they haven't had a drop of water in like 2 days.
Exactly, yeah. They water cut to the point of like the day of, they drink like one of those little, like, you know, kind of those little Ozarka bottles worth of water. That's all they drink for the entire day. And so they're dehydrated. They got an extremely dangerous amount of body fat on them. And the thing is they don't maintain it. They get to that point for the last week of their competition.
Yeah.
And as soon as that competition is over, they usually put IVs in to rehydrate themselves, but they're drinking a ton of electrolytes and they're eating a ton of food to get by, you know, to get healthy. So it's not healthy. Most people, 90%, 95% of the population is going to want to look like they could, you know, look good on the beach is how most people put it.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is that's 10 to 15% body fat. If you're 15% body fat, you probably look better than 95% of the people on the beach, you know? And that's easy to get to. If you just eat, you know,
fairly. Yeah, that's a couple of months of proper dieting and a little bit of cardio.
Exactly. I mean, and it's not that hard.
Yeah.
You know, but the expectation is so far out there. The other thing is back to the Instagram people is, you see, like, say Paige, I don't know if you've heard of her, Paige, I think it's Paige Hathaway. Whoever, she's for, I don't know if you heard of the supplement Shreds. It's Shreds with a Z, like the most cliche thing
ever. Yeah, I was about to say, it probably is. Man,
I'm telling you this, man, like, you got the most bro science. If they're wearing a Shreds t-shirt or have a shaker bottle or something like that, they're the most bro science person you've ever known.
Right.
I guarantee you. They tell you to eat 6 meals a day and all that good stuff. But the point being is they say Paige Hathaway's gotten to the point where she can't go out. She won't. She's almost a recluse 9 months out of the year, because what they do is they'll spend a month and they'll just take all, and they'll get shredded as they can, and they'll take as many pictures as they can over that month. And they'll take it in Christmas settings and all that. And then they'll post them throughout the year. Well, it got to the point where she's posting a picture of herself at Christmas, and then she'd go out in public and wouldn't look like she did in that Christmas post because it was taken 6 months earlier.
and people would just hound her for it. You know what I mean? And I don't necessarily agree with hounding her for it, but I do kind of think she brought it on herself, because you're putting this image of yourself out there that's not legit. You know what I mean?
I just think it's funny when people have the the title of Instagram fitness model, because it's almost like an asterisk.
Well, and the other thing too is Photoshop. They got a lot. I don't know if you heard of Joey Swoles. They busted him on Dylan Physique or something like that. They busted them with Photoshopped pictures. And the thing is, they look fine without Photoshopping it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I think that's a head issue too, though. I think those guys got some mental breakdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that dopamine, man. It's the instant response. You post a picture and people like it. You got to have more and more and more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's interesting. Yeah, she definitely looks way different in like her Instagram photos than she does in these other pictures.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. If you can't go out and enjoy yourself in a restaurant or hanging out with friends because you've created this alter image that you're scared to not look like, then you've got issues.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I mean, I try to, I normally diet 4 to 5 days a week and then probably eat, you know, 2 or 3 meals that I just want to eat.
I've started this diet called Carb Night.
Oh yeah. Where you go have all the carbs you want
in one night.
Yeah.
So you need zero carbs. Right now it's 10 days. So I've been 10 days without a carbohydrate. And tomorrow's my carb night. And then you eat in a 6 to 8 hour window. You eat as much, and it's got to be simple carbs. You can't do the complex carbs like brown rice or anything like. So it's got to be hamburger buns and pizza crust and all that.
That's interesting.
Because they're fast acting carbs.
Yeah.
And so what you're trying to do is you want to replenish your glycogen stores, which I need glycogen. I just lift better.
Yeah.
I lift heavier weights with glycogen in my muscle stores. I've done keto and I put on strength, but it was hard. Whereas in with glycogen. So
you're just not storing any energy on a keto diet.
Yeah.
You got to have carbs.
Yeah, exactly. So this will replace your muscles with the glycogen. But because you do it in that 6 hour window, you never get to the point where your body stores it as fat.
Yeah.
You know, but that's why you need the fast acting, simple carbs. So you can store them as quick as you can. And then you deplete it. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Let me know.
But that's the thing. Anytime I recommend a diet to someone, I can recommend it because I've tried it.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you one diet not to do.
What's that?
The baking soda diet.
That sounds horrible.
It is a terrible diet.
What does that even consist of?
It just consists of drinking like a tablespoon of baking soda.
What is that?
It works.
What does that do? Make you vomit?
It'll make you speckle the wall on deadlift.
I was about to say, geez.
Dude, I have very rare. I don't like pooping at the gym.
No, nobody does.
Very rarely. Do I ever do it? Like, it's got to be an emergency. And I was on that, baking soda diet for 2 weeks. And I was on it for 2 weeks out of stubbornness. You know what I mean? I was like, dude, my body's got to get used to this. But every squat and deadlift session, I had to leave the bar and hit the bathroom. And that's after doing it before the workout.
Yeah.
It just, it's not good.
That's why I like to eat the same things pretty regularly and on a schedule. Cause I know when I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. No.
It's almost the exact same time every day.
But I can tell you for a fact, the baking soda diet is not worth it.
Yeah.
The apple cider vinegar, not worth it.
Yeah. Like this last week was, chicken, asparagus, sweet potato, and some rice. Like a little bit of rice.
Sounds terrible.
It's delicious. Like, what part of that don't you like? You like asparagus?
It's all right.
The way I make it, it's fantastic.
Sweet potato's not bad.
Sweet potato's great.
Chicken just gets old. Honestly, the one thing I can eat.
I make it like 2 or 3 different ways.
Yeah.
I can go for a while with one, and then once I get tired of it, switch it up.
And that's why I like the keto, is because I can eat the good part of the chicken.
Yeah.
Like, I can eat a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
I kind of like this, well, I don't know yet, but if I show the results on this carb night, I think I'm going to dig it.
Yeah.
Because I can eat what, you know, I can eat the hot wings and the low carb stuff.
Now, is it built for, well, I mean, is it built for cutting or mass gaining or what's it built for?
Well, cutting's just calorie deficit.
Right. But I mean, is it putting you in a calorie deficit or?
No, you have to do it either way.
Okay.
So if you want to put on weight, do it with a
surplus. How are you doing it?
I'm doing it at a deficit to cut. Okay,
you're cut.
But the premise behind it is you're not allowing your body, your insulin levels are low when you're not on the carbs. And then when you do spike your insulin levels, you don't spike them long enough to store as fat. You store it in your muscle stores.
Yeah.
That's the idea. It's developed by this dude named D.H. Kiefer, who is a biological physicist from Florida, like super. And he's done it himself, you know, and all that. And if it works, but it doesn't really necessarily, like a lot of diets are like, you'll burn fat. This one's like, you're going to burn fat. You're not going to burn it quick, you know, like normal. You're just going to burn it normally like everyone else does. The purpose behind this diet is to keep you from storing your food as fat.
Yeah.
And then by result, then you'll just end up burning fat eventually. Mm. So we'll see.
So what does your meal look like right now?
A lot of eggs, a lot of turkey bacon, turkey sausage, because I can eat eggs and I can eat breakfast food all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty much, I don't
eat. The entire egg or just?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I only eat for about a probably 5 hour window a day.
Yeah. That's kind of what I do.
So I get home. I'm not real strict on the intermittent fasting, but I'm just so busy during the day that I.
Working night shift makes intermittent fasting super easy.
Yeah.
Cause I come home at 7:30 in the morning to sleep till like 4:00. Drink a cup of coffee when I get up, and then I eat my first meal at like 9:30 and probably my last one by, I don't know,
yeah,
1 or 2.
Exactly.
And I've probably only taken in like 1,200 to 1,400 calories when I'm trying to cut, like a lot.
Yeah. So that's all I'm doing is just a bunch of eggs and protein, red meat. Like we'll make tacos and I'll just eat the taco meat.
Yeah.
With some cheese on it and whatever. But tomorrow's the first carb night, so we'll hit Whataburger up around 3 or 4, and then we'll hit a pizza up, and then I got a big Reese's heart for Valentine's Day. So that, and then that's it. They want you to, you know, it's like eat a little bit of sugar afterwards, you know. Because it'll spike the insulin to store everything. So. The positive thing is if you can eat healthy 4 days a week, on the fifth day, you get to, if you can hold off till 3 or 4 in the afternoon, then you get to eat like a glutton.
Yeah.
And then, so we'll see how it works. I'll keep you updated, but, anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
But the point is before you do anything, just kind of try and understand what the science is.
Yeah.
But I can tell you the science behind the baking powder diet is pooping all your nutrients out. That's how you lose weight, because you will be on the pot 4 or 5 times a day.
That sounds terrible.
With like just explosive diarrhea. Like I'm talking like issues.
Like magnesium citrate.
Like people wondering what's happening to you in the stall type bowel movements.
Wow. But yeah, I think I'll avoid it then.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable about Lewis.
I think we covered the gambit.
Yeah.
Gun control, fitness, Instagram.
And poops.
And conspiracy theories as per the norm.
Yeah.
You got to dabble in that a little bit every episode, man.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I think there's more to it. I think there is.
You're going to end up getting picked up by Alex Jones.
I think you're right. I like Alex. I don't necessarily agree with marriage.
Oh, dude, he's hilarious.
But I do think he...
I love the meme about the gay frogs.
Yes, yeah, that's the thing, man. Some of that stuff. I think he just buys it all just so he can say he's right on it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Because there's some things he said that sound like they're way out there, and then, like, lo and behold, it happened. Mm-hmm. You know, but then he's like,
oh, I do think there's a
lizard people.
I do. Yeah, lizard people, no. But I do think there's a huge pedophile ring in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, possibly.
And I think you're seeing I think it's a big one in
Hollywood.
Hollywood, and I think you're starting to see it come out in Hollywood. And I think you haven't seen it come out in Washington yet, just because they're a little more untouchable, or they're harder to get to, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think they're losing their power because Hollywood is starting to be exposed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's it. Topofthedudechain.com.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, man.
Guest hosting. And we'll do it again.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm pretty sure Mike and Jeff will not be able to do it all the time. Anyway, that's it. Top of the Dude Chain. I'm out.